I don't get it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be with you shortly. A little bit of a snafu real quick, but I got it. All right. 1 second, and away we go.
off that black magic. Unsung, laying black caskets. Ain't no black nuns, we got black pastors. Earn funds off the black masses. We got black habits. We got black habits. Black drum, rhythm, black savage. Black labor on the black savage. Their great is the black average. Imitating all our black talents. We got black habits. We got black habits. The flow that bounce, I'm the black rabbit. Boy, spit that flavor for they black palate. Provide dope shit for the black addicts. One step above in the black attic. Best of love to the black parents that fight for the plight, singing black ballads. Pants hang low, we be black sagging while our baby mama steady black nagging. Bring it back to the hood, black bragging. To the word spread, niggas get the black jacket. 21 young and they black packing. War paint from they face on the black napkin. Final rights from the black chaplain. Still pressing lines like what's black happening. Run these streets with a black passion. Gotta grind till I wake up in a black mansion. Black lungs off that black magic. Unsung, laying black caskets. Ain't no black nuns, we got black pastors. Earn funds off the black masses. We got black habits.
Why don't you give me that little load in, my nigga?
We got black habits.
I already told you, my nigga.
Black drum, rhythm, black savage. Black labor on the black savage. Their great is the black average. Imitating all our black talents. We got black habits. We got black habits.
Cinnamon color citizens get the better end of the stick every damn time. Plenty young in the penitentiary filling up and they didn't do the damn crime. Simeon didn't lit a seat, 25, he took a stride and hit a landmine. Had everything money can't buy. Stuck in the box like a panmine. Give me one, let me hit the blunt, get my dick up and she gon' hop on it and slide. Anytime nigga feeling down, need a pickup, she put her mouth on her hands high. Thank you, Lord, for this little heart that she pouring on me, feeling blessed on the west side. Got a bad one up in my sheets, and a 12-gauge on my bedside. I'm from the dirt like a black radish, homegrown like some black cabbage. Going home, need that black fabric, gonna lay my head on this black mattress. We got black habits. We got black habits. Sipping wine off the black chalice, they get in line for this black phallus. Haters mad, they got black malice, cause I'm bound to retreat in the black palace. We got black habits. We got black habits. Run this ball 100 yards when I say ain't no fun involved. I ain't bring you to this team to be Dr. King. Taking in on me, you won't run at all. At the press conference, you better high step and smile. I expect you to be grateful. And the next time you don't want to answer a question, you better figure out something to say, fool. Who you think paid for that suit you wearing? Or that new McLaren? The car that your grandma drives? Ain't you used to sharing? You could go back to not having a dime. Pulling up at the club and getting back of the line. Couldn't tell you enough how easy to be replaced. You should face the facts. Another you in no time. It's your time. If I may. That being said, I must say. You got me fucked up in the worst way. I've been investing my checks since first pay. Fuck this job. Fuck you too, motherfuck that car. And if you only knew you could be touched, you would watch your mouth. You need to shoot your fat ass down. I guess you figured I was just another nigga with no options. Homie, you're so toxic. I ain't tryna be a token up on the soapbox. But even when I do the speed limit, it's roadblocks. I lose my contact, and I'ma lose your contract. It's your loss, you gon' lose beyond that. You gon' lose your mind when you find out the time is up for being blind, motherfucker. We got black sons running black canvas. J. Edgar Hoover killed the Black Panthers. Black lives are a black challenge. They just leave us hanging in the black balance. We got black habits. We got black habits. Black drum, rhythm, black savage. Black labor on the black Sabbath. Their great is the black average. Imitating all our black talents. We got black habits. We got black habits.
Thank you. So what's Thank you.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Few staff views, but we're here. We're working it out. We do what we need to do. We're making it all come together the way it's supposed to. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to War Council. A most amazing panel of incredible and distinguished people that come here as conscious community creators. An egalitarian panel to do amazing things, right? So tonight, we were supposed to do Fly Speak, which we know we do Fly Speak the first of the month. But we had to switch some things up, you know, move some things around, you know, get some things going. However, you know, we're not going to let that stop us. We're going to try this new format out tonight. I know tonight is not a good thing for experimentation, but while we're at it, make sure if you know you're supposed to be on this panel, press 1 so we know that you're supposed to be on the panel so I can see you, because everybody knows how bad I am at reading numbers. Now, that being said, tonight's episode of War Council, we're going to talk about what is it that you need. What is it you desire? What is it that's on your heart that you think that you need? Do you need to be A, to stay single, B, to be in a relationship, C, to get married, or D, become poly? Now, these are all things that we're going to talk about. We're going to do it in relation to what we do with our community, how we're going to do it. But instead of me calling people out and unmuting mics and doing all this other stuff, I am actually going to keep all the mics open. And we're going to obey the one mic rule. And we're actually going to be able to allow people to talk, right? We're not going to be long-winded. We're going to give people, if they're responding to somebody directly, they will literally have 2 minutes to really respond. So everybody gets their say. Everybody has something to say. Now, if you have a question, I do recall that I think I actually put my number in there, which is crazy. So you can text me your messages and I can get them more readily and steadily, because I got a new phone. It actually, you know, rings when you hit it, and I'll be able to hear it, and I won't be like, oh, I missed it, you know. So you can do it that way, or you can hit me directly on the Facebook Messenger, because I barely ever check my Instagram. So please don't send questions or stuff to Instagram. All right? So this discussion will be a deep dive into discussion of what you need, have experienced, and what works for your needs intimately and relationship-wise. Now, if you listen within the call of my voice, understand that number is 319-527-6300. You press 1 to be heard, or you can text the questions to my phone number, which is 518-360-5378. You can stream in here at, you know, Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/I, like your I, see people. Now, this is sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? This is a for real entertainment network. Make sure that you understand exactly what y'all when you come to the universe. Now, we're about to travel. We're going to bring our people in and make it happen and make it crackulate. Let's go. First person I'm bringing in, the Texas Titan, the beautiful one. We call her the voice, Miss Angel Kim. Miss Angel Kim, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Oh, we good, we good. All right, we're going to move through this quickly. All right, from the great state of Florida, my favorite Sigma, next to my cousin, Mr. Wendell. Wendell, how are you doing, sir?
Peace and blessings, y'all. I am good. Glad to be here.
All right, that's what's up. Now, coming in next, from the city of brotherly love, my favorite, one of my favorite Philly Jones, one half of the Love Zone and one half Poetic Therapy and a third of the Soul Cafe, Miss Danielle, a.k.a. La Pearl La Negra. Danielle, how are you?
I'm good. Hey, hey, everybody. Good evening.
All right. Now we're going to go to our station manager, affectionately known to us as Wolverine, but also bad man himself, doing date night differently. One half of the dynamic duo for the Get Down, Mr. Van Meadows, station manager of this illustrious station. How are you, Van?
I'm doing great, brother. How's everyone doing?
All right. You know, I was cutting up a minute ago, but it's all right. All right. Area code 713. 713, who has to speak? So I know. Hello? Area code 713. Well, if you're not talking, we're going to go back on the thing. Okay. And I believe this is my favorite teacher. Is this Miss Gordon?
No, this is Mother of Dragons.
Yeah. Oh, it's Hello? MOD. Hey, my favorite Marvel nerd. What's happening? What's happening?
Okay.
All right.
What's up?
All right. What's going on? And also, my cousin, Harlem River Rider, the very illustrious other half of the Get Down, affectionately known as Batman, J. Rob DeWison. Are you there?
Good evening, everybody. Everything is well. Good to hear your voice again, cuzzo.
All right. That's what's up. Always great to hear your voice. All right. Now we're going to bring in, I know who this is. This is the good brother, Dawood.
Peace and love, everybody.
Dawood? All right. And this
Hello?
Must be Joe, the verbal mind dancer. Wait.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. All
right. What's happening? So we're going to try out this new format. So I'm going to read this format to you. As it states, as soon as I get past the multiple amount of tabs that I have open, because I'm silly like that. Hold on. All right. Let me open this. Okay, here we go. All right. So we're going to run breaks every 20 minutes in between topics. We're going to spend 20 minutes on the topics. Everybody got that? All right. We're going to rock out. We're going to do this. We're going to start out. We're going to wade in heavily, and we're going to make it so that everybody can respond. You can say, I'm responding. Make sure that you say, I'm responding to the person who's talking, and then you will have 2 minutes to respond. We will not go over time. We'll make sure that we stay on time, and we'll make sure that everybody is heard. Please do not hog the mic. If I say one mic, that means please stop your commentary. Land your plane. All right? It means land the plane. All right? Are we good? Are we good? We clear.
Good. Yeah.
Check.
We good. Check. All right. Now. So the question is that we really need to know nowadays. All right. I think no. This is Miss Gordon. This has got to be Miss Gordon. Just can't. Miss Gordon, is this you?
It is.
All right. Now the gang's all here. Everybody's here. We're all in here. All right. We're all good. Now. All right. So. Being that today, in today's things, we understand that the world has grown to the point where we all make choices based on relationships, what we like, what we don't like, who it is. We know that divorce is hovering around 50%. We know that people are choosing alternative relationships, alternative styles to relationships, and things that are based in that. And some of us have expertise in that, but they'll announce themselves as those times goes along. Now, the question is, right, what is it? Right, and you can say you can speak for yourself or in general, doesn't matter. What is it do you think that people need? What do you think it is that you need? What do you think somebody else needs? What do you think the world needs? And you can say love, but we all know that. So anybody can hop in, say your name, and we'll go from there.
Okay, I'll start this off. This is Wendell. I'm in Florida. People need connection, people need community, people need autonomy, people need to be seen, heard, felt, and known. These are all aspects of who we are fundamentally as human beings, and the different relationship styles that are out there, whether intimate or just general. Serve to meet the needs that we have in these needs in their own unique way. And I think that when it comes to personally, our personal relationship style, that it is incumbent upon us to create the dynamic that serves us rather than to blindly fall in line and in lockstep with the prescribed notion that seemingly is one size fits all. Since we are not all a monolith, we have the individual needs that we have are valid and deserve expression in a way that that serves us, while at the same time not hurting anybody else. And if those two things can happen and coexist in the same space, then everyone is the better for it.
Okay. A response. Anyone else? Anybody else?
It's Mother of Dragons. I agree. I believe that people need a mutual respect, loyalty. I think that's what people search for, along with just a mutual understanding of what that person is and their whole being. A lot of times we get into certain situations, they don't understand who that person is, but if you can understand who that person is in their whole entirety, then that is I think that's the gist of love, So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. All right. So, I mean, we've just been thinking about it, but is anybody willing to be bare and open to actually say exactly what they need when it comes to that? And your choices are to be single, to stay single, be in a relationship, be married, or be in a poly-designed relationship. So we want to make sure that people get into it. If you want to be vulnerable, or say a friend told you, who doesn't know anything else, but feel free to hop in.
Go ahead. This is Angel Kim. I can speak on that. As far as what I would need and want is the first thing I would need to feel a connection with someone to form a relationship that will lead to marriage. So for me, it's like a little process. I want to build up to the point of marriage. And in that marriage, I want to feel not only, desired and wanted, but I want to feel, needed, loved. I want to feel appreciated. I want to feel like we have a partnership and that we're in this together and that I'm not in it alone. And that we both are building towards the same thing. So that's what I would want and need personally. And I'm done speaking.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Angel Kim. Is there anyone that feels that you should stay single? Is there anyone who feels like they should stay single or have specific reasons for staying single and why?
Yeah, this is Danielle. I do. I have specific reasons for staying single because, people don't want to take the time to get to know you. They really don't want to, as y'all was speaking on earlier, find out what makes a person tick, why they act the way they act. People don't want to talk to you about your past to find out what works for you. They'd rather do it to use it against you later, to belittle you. There's a lot of different reasons. Instead of, people say, as far as sex goes, they say they don't care about your body count. But honestly, they should find out about your body count because there are certain things that we react to a certain way. And you should want to know so you can actually master their body. You learn from all of that, why they did it the way they did it, why they reacted the way they reacted to it. And then you can go ahead and work from there. But unfortunately, like I said, they turn it around and they throw it back in your face instead. And this is on both parts, the men and the women. It's not just men. Even though men, they throw it a little bit harder than the women do because it seems to be more acceptable for a man to have a high body count. And for a woman, she's labeled all kinds of horrible names, it's sensationalized and celebrated for a man to have a high body count. But I know women that have very high body counts, and it's just been thrown back at them instead of worked with, you know, to improve the relationship that they're in. That is, that's a big reason. Some people don't want to hear that you have a past. And in fact, everybody does. All of us do. Okay. I call it expressing your hoality, having fun, however you want to call it. I don't know what that noise is. Another thing is people say, I don't want to hear about your past relationship, but you should, because there are certain things that set people.
Danielle, hold on. One mic, hold on. Mm-hmm. All right. If you're on the call, please mute your mic yourself on your phone. All right, I'm not muting anybody's mic. Mute your own phone, your own mic. All right, so if you have stuff in the background, you're listening, just mute your mic until you're called upon or you have a thing that you want to respond to. Okay? Just so we know. All right, so anybody who has that sound in the background, please mute your mic. Is that you, Danielle?
No, it's not me. No. It's not me.
Whoever that is, they didn't get the memo.
No, they didn't. They might not even be near their phone. Or they may not understand that the background noise is being heard.
Okay.
Where was I at? You know, and people have an issue with intimacy. When I say intimacy, just having a basic conversation, that one-on-one conversation with their potential mate, something that could potentially blossom into a really good relationship.
But I'm sorry, I got one mic you, because we're gonna get into intimacy, and I know you want to go down that path, and you're kind of over time, so I gotta move on to the next person.
Go ahead.
So
okay,
but I'm gonna put the intimacy into the parking lot. The parking lot has been starting, because we are going back with intimacy, and we're gonna start with that in our second segment, because that is very important to relationships. Mm-hmm. So, official tissue.
Absolutely.
All right, does anyone else want to reply to what she was saying? All right, because I do have some figures here that I got from Psychology Today that I'd like to bring up. So, does anybody want to respond?
Yeah, I'll reply. I started off.
Wait. Mother of Dragons, if you already went, we gotta have somebody new. We can't have a conversation with you. It has to be someone else. I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep everybody in the queue.
Gotcha.
We make sure everybody's being heard. So, if you need me to call names, tell me now, and I'll call you. You know, if you want me to call you out. But
this
I'm,
is Jay
Ron.
I was interested in your statistics.
All right. So, well, it's not statistics. This is basically what's been called. It says, you know, five reasons people choose to stay single. And it says they make peace with the reasons to stay single or work to allow intimacy. That's why it was important. All right. It says one, blurred boundaries in your past. If you grew up feeling unsafe, surrounded by chaos, upheaval, or loss, you experienced these painful scenarios in your previous relationship, it's possible that you over-control and guard your boundaries and your routine in order to feel safe. All right. As a result, you'll build a protective wall around yourself. Now, living walled off for so long, you may feel phobic, uncomfortable, and afraid to engage in an authentically intimate emotional exchange. Two, guardedness and rigid boundaries. Confusing signals from past caregivers, right? If you grew up with rigid boundaries with little to no existent emotional involvement from caregivers, you might have internalized rigid patterns and routines and employing them in your own life to protect yourself from the intense feelings that would otherwise be evoked if you allowed in intimacy. All right. You're so well protected, it feels like you don't even know how to let in a connection. All right. So that's part of the thing with connection. So we're going to get into that too. Three, trauma. All right. You could have been emotionally engaged. Bad things could have happened. Could have happened to you as a child, as an adolescent, even as an adult. You might have experienced sexual, physical, emotional abuse, or a traumatic event like a car crash or a combat. Something happened to someone you loved, or someone indirectly or directly affected by a world event. No matter the source, trauma is insidious and can impact you more and more over time. 4, a natural state of being. Maybe you had a generally positive and very safe childhood, and maybe all your past relationships have been amicable. Maybe you're generally open to new experiences and new ways of being. Maybe you don't feel drawn to a committed relationship. All right, there are people who intellectually understand the idea of commitment but don't feel interested in pursuing this kind of emotional intimacy, all right, at this stage. So, and 5, having an intense, unmeetable need, all right? And it says there's 2 basic groups of people, who avoid relationships due to feeling. Hold on for a second because I let this slip and I wasn't supposed to let that happen, all right? I hate when I do that. I just shot myself in the foot. All right, hold on. Here we go. Okay. All right, there are 2 basic groups of people who avoid relationships due to feeling intensely, overwhelmingly needy. All right, here are 2 of the many ways these manifestations of intense, unmeetable needs can look. Can someone please mute your mic? All right, 1, you may recognize your neediness to the degree that you become phobic and deeply shameful about it. You recognize it being so intense that you retreat from others as not to burden them with it. This experience and a way of perceiving yourself feels like self-hate, especially if it's directed at this unattractive part of yourself. You don't see how you can love yourself given the intensity of your needs, and you can't imagine that anyone else could love you. All right? And so you try your hardest to avoid relationships altogether, not to subject yourself to shame. 2, you may recognize the intensity of need, but you work to incorporate it in a productive way in your life. You realize it's the natural state of your being, and this experience and self-awareness may have stemmed from having a very needy caregiver growing up who imposed that neediness on you. And you, it may be for other reasons. Either way, you often inadvertently may experience the same neediness in a partner, and therefore you abstain from intimate engagement. You opt to explore a relationship, whether you encounter has potential to cause a number of conflicts. On a deep level, you may be aware that being attentive to someone else's needs would be putting your own needs second, and you already spent a good portion of your life doing so, so you retreat to protect yourself. Or you might feel repelled by the idea of tending to the needs of someone else, probably because your caregivers overwhelmed you and their neediness. And so at this point, you can't even imagine of taking care of someone else's needs. All right? So those are 5 reasons why people might stay single. You know, I think there's a 6th reason.
And what would that be?
I think that certain people know that they have multiple options, and they can go any which way in the direction that they want to go, so they remain open and not choose any options except whatever option chooses them. Sound crazy?
I think sometimes it depends on the situation of the individual and their success or lack of success getting other people to jack their situation. I think sometimes people get tired of telling their story over and over again and people not understanding their story. For instance, if you have like a single mom with like 3 children and she just broke up with baby daddy and kind of she still wants to be with her, but she's already emotionally moved on. And every time she gets with a dude, she tells that story and he gets insecure and be like, yeah, but your baby daddy's still around. If you tell 5 dudes that story and none of them jack your situation, you get tired and you don't feel like telling that story no more. And that's just an example. But there's many different examples of people with unique situations, and they come and they tell you the absolute positive truth, and then the person says that they agree or they understand, and they don't really understand or don't want to understand. And you just get tired of telling the story. So after a while, you just say, I'm going to stay single until either my condition improves or I run past somebody that's genuinely going to jack my situation. And then if you've been telling people about your situation for over a course of time and everybody wasn't with it, you don't even know what the person that would jack your situation looks like. So sometimes it's greater than an erotic situation. Sometimes it's greater than who you've been with or how you've been with them or anything like that. Sometimes you're in a unique situation, that causes a deep understanding of a person that is really genuinely willing to jump in the water and fight with you, but they really ain't down to fight with you for whatever it is y'all trying to accomplish. And sometimes there may be people who act like they jack your situation, and then they alter the contract after you get connected to them. It's a whole bunch of different things that I think are involved with it, with an individual's condition, because everybody in this world is not 100% cut and dry single. They may have certain situations that prevent you from seeing it as ideal. And I just think that a lot of people are not creative enough to say, well, it's like this, but we can make it into that if we work on it. Instead of working on it, they'll try to force you to change your situation, and you may not be in a position to.
Okay. All right. Definitely. All right. I'm going to put the pin in that. Does anyone want to respond to what he just said? Okay.
If I may.
Okay. Van, you go first. Joe.
Yeah. I think that the element of what Dawood was saying that I will elaborate a little further. There's also the aspect of when it's the man who has been done wrong so many times, and he has to tell the same story over and over again, which ends up in turn makes it for him, all he's doing is just waiting for the woman that he told the story to do the exact same thing that the previous woman have done, because now I've been vulnerable enough to share with you what I've been through, and then they turn around and do the exact same thing that the previous one's done. So it puts a man in a position to want to stay single because he's tired of, again, telling that same story over and over and over again. Only to be vulnerable enough to expose himself to a woman who seems genuine enough to hear and listen and say, oh, well, I'm going to protect your heart, and turn around and do the exact same thing that he's been open about. So now it puts him in a position to say, well, maybe I should stay single, because the genuineness of the person until they get what they want or until they get what they need from you. And then they're okay to just walk away because you've served your purpose. You've outlived your usefulness to them. That's all I got.
Mm. Wow.
That's my brother.
Hold on. Ladies, would you like to respond to that? Because we have yet to hear from Miss Gordon. And area code 857, could you please announce yourself?
That's Mr. Boston.
Oh, Mr. Boston called in. Pressing one, like you was on the panel.
Yeah.
We're going to leave your mic open. I know, but Mr. Boston, we got a format we follow over here for War Council. So
okay.
We don't just talk free. You got to wait till it comes to you, then you have 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right. So we're not just when we go free speak, we'll be going free speak soon, but we definitely talk to each other. But I want to make sure that I hear from the ladies. And I know Joe was supposed to be next on the commentary, and we have not heard from Miss Gordon. So Miss Gordon, if possible, do you want to respond to any of this?
But before you get her, what is the question?
Why do people just decide to stay single?
Okay.
All right. And then I have you, because I have you, and I have area code 919 that follows. But Miss Gordon will go next. So, Joe, your commentary. Okay.
Yes, sir. I read something earlier today which kind of dealt with, everything that you guys are talking about. And one thing I picked up on that is perspective is everything. I mean, we always tell our stories, but our stories are old. They don't change. And then when we meet new people, we're still telling that same story instead of dealing with what's in the present. you know, kind of it narrows our opinion on a lot of things. You know, you can just like the old saying in school, you know, one person tell a story, by the time you get to the end of the line, it's totally different. Hmm. Now, we've all had our stories about heartbreak and heartbroken and, you know, loyalty and betrayal and all that sort of thing. But, and we, you know, we keep that in us. We don't let that go. We hold on to that story. And everybody's got to fit into that story somehow. You can't place a person in that situation looking for something new. Now, those who choose to stay single, they want to hold on to their story so bad for so long, it shuts down anything around them, anything positive coming in their way. It just closes the door to that because you're still stuck with that same story. So, I mean, a lot of folks stay single because of the stories that they bring instead of just, try to take people for face value. I mean, if it don't work, it don't work. But you can't just block out life because of that one story that you lived.
Mm-hmm.
That's my perspective.
All right, Ms. Gordon. Ms. Gordon, do you want to respond or make your own commentary?
I don't have anything on this particular one.
Okay. Now we're going to go to Mr. Boston. Now you can respond.
Okay. What is it that you need me to respond to?
Yeah. Not because you just asked me.
Why are you single?
Yeah. And
I don't,
why,
you know, me personally. Oh, well, I mean, you know, me personally, I choose to be that way currently. You know, maybe it's because of two bad marriages and two very bad long-term relationships, but I think that most people kind of like want to stay single because they maybe have built a protective wall around themselves, and that they've been walled off for so long that they feel maybe uncomfortable or afraid to engage in a authentic, intimate emotional exchange. That's a possibility. And maybe the person could be, I guess you could say, married to some sort of self-orientated routine that they have become so guarded that they become totally self-sufficient, and they set those boundaries that are a means of their survival in this crazy, chaotic world, and untrustworthiness is a big issue with that individual person like me. You know, it's hard for me to trust. So, you know, that way it's kind of like a protective cover, you know, but then sooner or later you're going to have to realize that you need to come out of that, and I'm coming out of that slowly but surely, to being able to trust again, you know, for the bad experiences that I had in my relationship, you know. And so that's where it is. All right. Where it is, you know. I mean, that's kind of a rigid boundary, you know, because it can be confusing sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
So Mr. Boston, because we're over 2 minutes. So I want you to close out your commentary, and then any other question that you have, you can send it to me directly, and we'll put it in the parking lot, and we'll come back to it. But we definitely have to move forward. So.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to go to area
like
question.
The question, you know, can be very expansive. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, sometimes you just got to open yourself up and take chances, and that's where I'm at right now.
All right, that's definitely a good thing. That's definitely a good thing. All right, we're going to go to area code 919. Who master speaking?
Salute, how are you? How are you? This is Teacher King, also known as Eric Williams on Facebook. I came on this blog via T. Rochelle. She sends out an invite, and I came. So cool. So let me get to this really, really quick because I'm long-winded, and I'm trying not to be that way. So you said 2 minutes, right? So you
I'm starting the clock now. Go ahead.
Okay, not an issue. So you asked why are people opting out of relationships? And everybody said a lot of things. One of the things that I do really well is I try to get to the root. So the root of what you ask, but what you ask is a breadcrumb to why and what is the reason that that's happening is people are not getting what they want, period. Or everything that everybody said and everybody's discussing, even you guys, not to say that it's bad, wrong, right, whatever the case is, but the whole of this is that people are not getting their expectations met. Now, we can go off into that and we can start talking about, well, false expectations, invalid, unreasonable expectations, but overall people are not getting what they want. Now we got to identify what do people want, is it valid, and how can we, what is there that we can get to streamline all people, because we're always talking about unity. We're always talking about one accord. We're always talking about the movement being unified, right? But if we don't agree, then how can that ever be? And if you got 10 billion plus, at least according to whatever the census is said to be, doing everything which is right in their own eyesight, how do we ever achieve unity? Then that means that we're being sold the load of dream. But guess what? There's hope, because the option is that if where one idea exists, the opportunity for the other automatically exists, whether it be bad or good. So that means where there's a way, there's a way out or a way in. The problem is we can't get to it because we keep listening to the wrong people, or we're listening to the right people, but the people that we need to listen to help streamline all of this so we can get one direction and get people healed that don't want to be in relationships, everybody's going to continue to be in a relationship whether you get married or not. Now, if you say an intimate relationship, that's a different story, but we all relate. We can't help it. Everybody needs somebody to accomplish. That is what the relationship is about. We're missing it. We're missing it. Now, we have wants, needs, and you know what? I'm talking a little bit loud because when I get to talking, I'm adamant. So don't mistake the way that I'm speaking.
That's not a problem, but you are over your time. I need you to land your plane.
Okay, no problem. We done. We good. Listen, feel free. I got a lot more for you, and it's going to make sense. And if I don't give understanding, cut me off.
Listen. This is what we're going to do. We're going to leave your mic open. We're going to see if people are going to respond to that right now. So what you said, I'm going to make sure I write this down. You said expectations are not being met.
Not being met.
Right. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to go to the panel first. All right. So I need you in the meantime, mute your mic and I'll come back to you, because I'll call you. I'll say Eric and we'll come back to it. So panel.
All right. If I miss, just let me know when I'm able to speak. If I don't catch you the first time,
I got you. Don't worry about it. I got you.
No, man.
I got you. You're good. Don't worry about it. All right.
All right. So,
Now, so the panel. Let's take because there's a lot of us this evening. But let's take five shots at this. So actually, no. Let's make it six, so it's even. So we're all even. So for this, let's do round robin. So Angel Kim. We'll start with you, Angel. Expectations, reason why people, the lack of expectations or the over-expectations in relationships.
Exactly. What's the question about expectations? I'm sorry.
All right, Eric, now this is your question. Now you can ask your question.
Okay, what I'm saying is that question that was asked, at least if I'm not wrong, is why are people opting out of relationships? Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can
hear you.
Okay, cool. And so, you know, what I said was, based on everything that everybody added into the pot of bringing about the road to understanding about what people are dealing with or what people possibly be going through, I said to get to the root, at least, of his question, is that expectations not being met is the reason why people are opting out of relationships, to sum everything up. Now, there's more than I said with that, but that's what I said about
that. All right, cool. Thank you, Eric. Now, that's what he said, Angel. What is your reply to that?
I mean, there is some truth to why some people opt out of relationships, but not totally. I mean, like me for myself, I've been single for longer than I want to admit. But it's not because I've opted out of having a relationship. It's just that I've had other things going on in my life, and relationships are forming a relationship outside of what I have going on doesn't come into play. So, I mean, yeah, maybe for some people expectations are what's keeping them at bay. But, I mean, everybody is going to have some type of expectation, and you should. But sometimes we can let our expectations overrun us as well. So, I mean, it can go either way, really.
Okay. Wendell.
Yeah, so I had just put it in the group chat. One of my philosophies is that disappointment lives in the space between capacity and expectation. When you eliminate one, then the other ceases to exist. So, you know, I think that we want from people what we hope to receive, but sometimes what we're not ready to give, and it becomes a, I'll do this for you if you'll do that for me. And that can often lead to there not being enough good faith. Good faith to see a person for where they are and who they are instead of who you want them to be based on what your own level of perceived need is. And that's where the expectation, the misplaced and unmet expectation comes into place, which can then feed the cycle of disappointment, further entrenching someone into the position of, I'll just say, single. It would take a conscious decision and an intentionality towards mastering acceptance of self and acceptance of others for who they are at the time, giving them the space to grow and evolve, and as we all do. But the person that you meet right now is the person who you meet right now. And is there something that they can benefit you with in their current state and vice versa? And are you willing to allow them to grow and evolve to a place where their usefulness to you increases or possibly decreases? And can you be okay with that? You know, relationships are not necessarily about permanence. And I think that that's also another expectation that people will bring into expectations, that if you come in my life, you got to be here for the long haul forever, or else you are not worthy to be in my life. And that in and of itself can be an unrealistic expectation, because not everybody that you come across is meant to be in your life forever. So.
All right, so I got to one mic the situation, because we're a little bit over and we have to move forward, because I need you for a very specific subject. So, you know, I know that there's something that's very your expertise in a certain area. So I'm gonna move forward and save you for the majority of that, because you're gonna have to talk on that one, and you and I know what we were talking about, right?
Yes, sir.
What up? Oh, so all right, you got it. All right, Danielle.
I agree with everything he just said. He's absolutely right. And people do have unrealistic expectations in relationships. Personally, I don't think it should hold you back from loving intentionally with every relationship that you get in. Putting that on someone, saying that if you're not going to be here for the long haul, then don't even try it. He's right. Everyone is not meant to be here forever in your life. Some people are here to teach you something. Some people are here to teach you patience. Some people are here to teach you other lessons. But it shouldn't keep you from loving that person. With everything in you. But people, they hold back because of the fear of the relationship failing.
a lot, and they have to learn how to, I can't think of the word. They just have to learn how to let go and let it be and trust the process. And a lot of people have not learned that yet. But I, other than that, I agree with everything that he said, everything.
Okay. All right. Van Meadows.
Excuse me really quick. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Can I say something before Mr. I think you said Meadows. I forgot it wrong.
Actually, Eric, we don't over-talk on this panel. So when we come back to you, we come back to you. So, I mean,
okay.
I know you want to answer something, but we go through the panel first, and then we return to the question. Okay?
Understood.
All right, Van Meadows.
Which point am I addressing, bro?
You're addressing, sorry. That wasn't supposed to be that loud. You're addressing the expectations of a relationship, why people want to stay single. But we're about to be off this topic and two people.
Okay.
And we're gonna do that. So, because the bomb, because we're gonna talk about relationship marriage coming up next. So.
All right. So my point on that is basically because people come with a mythical idea of what relationship is. All that stuff that you see on TV, all the stuff that you read in these novels. But when the rubber meets the road, if we're in the relationship, then I have to take your bads and your goods, and you got to take my bads and my goods. And we're saying that we're going to be committed in this relationship to do what we can to make sure that it works for us to have a successful future. But not everyone is willing to do that anymore because you have, as my brother J-Rob said, you have, there are some viable options out there. Maybe not what you want. Maybe if it's just for the moment, but the options are out there for you to just pick and choose whatever you want to do without having repercussions because this is what you want to do. So it's just people just have unrealistic expectations of what a relationship looks like. They don't even want to get counseling to even figure out if there is a problem with themselves before they even venture into a relationship. They just think that it's cool. This is what I'm supposed to do, so let me go ahead and do it. That's my piece.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to come over to Mother of Dragons. Mother of Dragons.
I don't really. Yeah, I'm here. I really don't have a particular say on that because I feel like, you know, expectations are just lofty in itself because when you place that on a person, that's unrealistic for a person to have to abide by. And so when you do that, that can cause problems for that person because if they don't meet that, then they automatically won't get on that cutoff process anyway. Versus when you can just resonate in yourself that, you know, hey, I'm just going to place this one thing on this person, and if they can meet that, then that's that one thing that we connect on. You know? So that's my spiel on that one. So that's it.
Okay. Thank you. I'm gonna go from you to J-Rob.
Let me try to be quick. I honestly think that the lack of viable options tends to ride along with being single for a lot of people. But the brother who said disappointment lives in the space between capacity and expectations, that's real heavy because that's actually true in a lot of cases. Maybe not all, but a lot of people want to be loved, but the people are you choosing, do they have the capacity to love you the way you want to be loved? And what are the expectations that come along with the relationship that you're looking for? And a lot of people can't answer that question. Men and women have different needs when it comes to relationships. And a lot of times, women come very specific and a lot of men are abstract. It's not the case in every single case, but a lot of times men can be one way and women are another. And it's difficult to meet somebody who's on the same wavelength with you when you're looking for, quote unquote, that person to love you or to learn to love you the way you want or deserve to be, if they're synonymous. And they really aren't when it comes to people, because people tend to be fickle in the people that they choose and who and how they love.
Okay. That's solid. I'm going to go to Miss Gordon. Miss Gordon, do you have a commentary for this particular segment?
Because
we'll close out with you.
Expectations, I always say that, you know, for me, when I'm embarking on a relationship with someone, I want to know the expectations that we have for each other. What does it look like? What does it feel like? Because if we can't, if we don't know what we're looking for, and I think someone said this prior, if you don't know what you're looking for, you can't explain it to someone else. And so I like to be able to explain what do certain expectations look like for me. And likewise for you, if there's certain things that you expect out of a relationship, and I always say, what are the expectations that you need met so that you can be a whole, complete, functioning person in this relationship, you know? And once you know what that looks like and feels like for someone, I think it's easier to meet those expectations. And the word capacity, if you have the capacity to do so, only you know that, but that's something that you can express when you're communicating about those expectations.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I'm going to return to Eric. Eric, I'm going to give you about a minute to retort, and then
okay.
We're going to close out the segment and be done. So you have a minute.
Okay.
Go.
Okay. Well, by retorting quickly, I want to say, I'm going to start at the end and go back to the beginning if I can. If I can't, I'm going to go through. And what I want to tell you is you can have an expectation. Everything that was said on here, everybody, tomorrow, tonight, when you get off the phone, I want to tell you something. You should be proud of yourself. And what I like about what I heard tonight was everybody said everything that was right and the things that facilitate, but they agreed. You agreed on the fact, and the reason why I wanted to get to the root is because I want us to get to the point so we can get to the next thing. So we agreed that expectation is the issue. Now, the thing at the end that I want to point out first is the sister that spoke is, she said that, what is our expectation? That is that, or she said our expectation not being met. She said a couple of things. Defining our expectation against what we should impose on somebody and what we shouldn't. There are some things that we should impose on people. Those are the things within truth and righteousness. The problem is those things are distorted. So when that's distorted,
Eric, all right, because yes. We had a moment. All right, so. I'm gonna put your thing in a parking lot, right? And then what we'll do is we're gonna move on to the next segment. All right, so
okay.
If
can
you have
you do
another
me
question
favor?
Next time,
can you, no, can you do me a favor? I'm definitely gonna have a question, but because you're dealing with union, marriage, and being on one accord and being one twain, you said the other gentleman would definitely have something to say. I would like to be a part of that so I can water whatever it is
well,
that he's sowing seed.
But Eric. Here's the thing. I know that you want to participate, and we want you to participate, but there are other callers, there are other people, and there are other questions. We do not dominate the conversation here. We share here, so I need you to, you know, hang out, hang tight. It's cool, right? When the time comes, I will come to you, all right? I'm going to put your question in the parking lot. When the time comes, I'll return to you, all right?
Okay, that's cool. Thank you.
All right. Actually, I'm gonna put you on what you call in the queue. So hold on. Okay. Now the other thing is that we're gonna start talking about relationships and marriage. Why get married? All right. So from marriage.com, right? They say one, marriage will give you legal rights of a spouse. You know, and there's all kinds of marital rights. That's a whole thing. That's a great rabbit hole to, you know, get into. Two, marriage is the beginning of your new life together. Three, marriage teaches you the importance of commitment. Four, Marriage will strengthen your union as a family for your children. And 5 is the ultimate act of love for your partner. 6, marriage is not the last step for a happy ending. All right, so it has a bunch of things that are going on, right? And hold over a second while I was supposed to start that over. All right, but I'm going to go to caller 346, area code 346. Hello, caller, area 346. Who may I be speaking?
Hi.
I can't hear you. Could you talk louder?
Hey, it's Joan.
Oh, hey, what's going on?
Hey.
What's up, Joan?
Nothing. I was just calling to listen in to you guys. Hey, everybody.
What's going on, Joan? How you feeling?
Good.
Okay. So,
I'm just here hanging out.
All right. So hang out. You have a question? You just hanging out?
I'm just hanging out. No, you know, I'm listening, learning.
All right. All right, well, good. Then we gonna do some stuff in this part. Now, in this society, what it is, we know that divorce is at 50% and rising, and most often, started by the woman in the relationships as it goes by the statistics. Why would people need to be married, or why would they want to be married? And for me, I have a very strange idea about marriage. Like, I'm a marriage dude, but I do not want to be married at this point. And if you're going to marry me, you got to be something really amazing or special to make me decide to say, okay, yeah, let me chuck the deuce and come back and do all this other stuff and everything else. I believe a wise man who's a verbal mind dancer says he gets all the benefits of being married while still being single. So there's that. So I'm going to open this up, right, before I take it. And I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to open it up. Y'all can unmute yourselves. Why? You can tell me why for marriage, why not, you know, or why not for marriage, and your particular reason why. Open conversation starts now. Who's first?
I'll go first. This is the brother mind dancer. Marriage, man, it's a beautiful thing. It's great. I was married for over 20 years, but you know, we met as kids, and we grew up, and we grew in different directions. And you know, like, we're the best of friends to this day. But you know, marriage is definitely it's a strong commitment in being in a relationship, for sure. And it's work. You know, marriage is a business. You are in the business of running a family, a household. It's a cooperation. Now, to be married just to be married, no, I do not agree with that whatsoever. Some people get married just to say that they're married. They're still doing the same single shit.
Okay, okay.
I need you to land the plane
so we can move on. All right.
I'm landing.
You cut right there?
Real
next.
Real down.
Actually, I'm going to call on Dawood. Dawood, your opinion.
Marriage or not marriage is the question?
Yeah, marriage or not marriage.
You know, I vacillate on this one. I've been married multiple times. It did not work out the way I wanted it to work out those multiple times. I'd like to think I gave it my all, but it just didn't work out. I think that a lot of people, and I want to say, like, being in the family, human service field, I run into a lot of women and men who don't want to get married because they don't want to be trapped. I think that the way the marriage paradigm is for nowadays, it has to be changed. Because I'm not saying that they should make it easier for you to get out, but what I am saying is that people don't want to be trapped. And, you know, children make you feel trapped. Finances make you feel trapped. An abusive spouse, mostly male spouse, that, you know, threatens to put hands on you if you leave, make you want to feel trapped. That's, to me, the biggest problem people have with the whole marriage paradigm, is the fact that it's a contract that they have made it very hard for you to get out of. So if you feel like you're trapped, you know, and then here's the thing. It's like this. if somebody had you in a confined space for 50 hours, 60 hours, 70 hours, and then you got out, you would not want to go back to anything close to that confined space. And I think that some people look at marriage like that, like, damn, I was trapped and now I'm free. Why the hell would I want to go back to that? So for me, I think that I am pro-marriage now. I'm not sure. I think that I am. But at the same time, I think that I've been in situations where even relationships where I was like, damn, I felt like I was trapped just like I was married, and I don't want to be trapped. So I think that the new paradigm of marriage has to have a lot more freedom in it. I'm not saying freedom to sexually explore the people, if that's not what you want, but I do mean it has to have a lot more freedom where the obligations are equally shared, the emotions are equally shared, and there's a accountability on both parties where if something breaks down, you can let go without one party having the upper hand and you feeling trapped.
Okay, dope. Can we go to Ms. Gordon?
Well,
Ms. Gordon.
I'm very so marriage-minded, very much so marriage-minded. For me, I look at it from the spiritual side of it, and I just respect the union of marriage highly. I was married for 9 years, and I would still be married now. I tell everybody the day I walked out the courthouse doors from getting my divorce, I would have married in the next moment because that's just how much I respect and enjoy the entity of marriage. I think it's all in what you desire and what you see for your future and what you see could be the epitome of happiness for you, relationship, romantic relationship wise. But for me, it's marriage all day, every day.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go to Van Meadows.
How did I know, bro? How did I know? I'm very much pro marriage for everybody else. Multiple marriages for me did not work out because I'm the kind of person that, number one, if I get married, I don't want to get divorced. Period. I want us to grow together. I want us to grow old together. I want us to be that unit that's unbreakable, that's unstoppable. That's what I want. I just ain't met a woman that I was married to that wanted the same thing. Because everything everything becomes about an individual agenda. And even when I'm counseling married couples, I tell them it's two things. If you can conquer these two things, you will have a successful marriage.
What are two
things?
First
thing is selfishness and being able to communicate. If you can conquer those two things, there's no reason your marriage would ever fail. Ever.
All right.
So, yeah,
so,
I'm pro-marriage. I think marriage is a beautiful thing. I think marriage is beautiful from the spiritual aspect as well. It's just beautiful for everybody else, just not for me.
All right. Who's ever moving around in the background, please mute your mic. All right, we're trying to do the honor system here, so we need you to mute your mic. Also, for the new people that just came in, make sure that you hit one so you can make your commentary, because I got it on back channel. Somebody hit me. I saw that you came in. Press one so you can get to the queue and we can see where you're at. All right, because we're going to be coming down shortly. All right. Thank you. I see y'all. All right, now I'm going to go to Danielle. And then I'm a loop around. We're going to get the new people because there's certain people I'm saving for a certain segment that we're going to get to right after we close this out. All right. So, Danielle.
Yeah. You were saying that you went to marriage.com or something like that, and they were saying it is the ultimate act of love. It is. It's the ultimate bond, knowing that you have united to become one, you know, and you have someone very special it's something special about coming home to that one who's in it for the long haul and just is enthusiastic and committed as you are about staying in it. You know, that's the beauty of marriage. You know, knowing that you have that one particular partner that is willing to, like you said, communicate, you know, and be open with you. And that's pretty much it. You know, I am pro-marriage, definitely. You know, even though mine is crappy, I'm still for it, you know.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Danielle. All right, I'm going to finish up with Angel Kim before I go to the questions. Angel Kim.
You know, I'm pro marriage. That is something I would love to one day have. But I am the type that once I get married, it's a commitment that I'm making before God, and I don't want to do it again because I'm going to be committed to that marriage through sickness and in health and to death do us part. But I do think there's limitations on that as far as, you know, God also gave us the brain to understand that if it's just not working out, it's just not working out, and that contract can be null and void. But I am pro-marriage. I would love to one day be married.
Hmm. Okay. All right. I purposely left out Wendell and Mother of Dragons for the next segment, but we're going to go to our questions right now because we're hearing different things. As a matter of fact, I left J-Rob. I'm sorry, J-Rob. My bad. J-Rob, your commentary.
I've never been married, man. I had thoughts of being married, but the person who I wanted to marry had other thoughts, and those thoughts consisted of her being with other men. So that kind of negated everything, and then I had to go to court to get my engagement ring back. So
yeah,
I've been stuck ever since.
Good.
Hmm.
Wow.
Like, seriously,
that's
a good
course, but
hey, man, 4.5-carat diamond, I wanted all that back.
I know that's right.
All right, so here we're going to go to our callers now. We're going to go to our callers. All right, but whoever's in the background with the sound, please mute your mic.
Oh.
Hello, who's over in the background with your mic? You got to mute it.
They're having a
all
whole
right.
conversation.
For real. All right, we're going to go to area code 838. Area code 838, who master speaking?
Takia.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Happy to be in fine form. Thank you very much. So you had a commentary
yes,
for the panel.
Well, to the question, you know, about being married, I was listening, and I have been married. I was married more than once and for 20 years. But when listening to, I believe the brother is a counselor for marriage and saying that, in truth, if you could conquer two things, the selfishness or selflessness and communication. I think that's the, you know, that's number one. I have, you know, somebody who loves me very much, who believes in marriage, and I want to believe in marriage. What I really believe in are the principles and what he said, and I believe that selflessness and communication is the key to life, period, to happiness, you know,
okay.
Self-awareness, you know. So,
that's solid.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. And I feel like if I can give up, I'll just give you an example. Example was I'm looking at something that was really, I thought to myself this day, God, that's getting on my nerves. I don't like that quality in this person. And then I thought to myself, what about me? what about, I don't know if you, you know, the shit that I have with myself, and how that's perceived by other people, especially the person who loves me. And in thinking that, I thought to myself, if God, because that's where I'm coming from, loved me enough to take care of me, to forgive me, to love me, to have mercy on me, who am I not to give the same thing to the other person?
Good point.
That's it. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to leave your mic open, but please mute your mic while we're talking because we'll be returning for questions, and I'm going to move on to the next caller. All right?
Okay.
Area code 973. Umassa speaking.
Hello. Am I on?
Umassa speaking.
Hi.
Yes.
This is Edwina.
Hey, Edwina. Did you have a commentary for... I'm good. Do you have a commentary for the panel?
I do. On this particular conversation, and I was trying to get in on the last part, but I'll stay on topic. I think that marriage isn't necessarily the issue. I think it's the stigmas that we put on everything, relationships and marriage. We go into things expecting a completeness that we don't start with. And then it's always going to end up in the same place. You're not going to find the rest of yourself in another person. That's where most of that expectation comes from. You are, you know, you're looking for a happiness that you can't find in yourself and someone else, and that always ends in divorce. I think marriage is when you end up a complete person with another complete person at the altar looking to live your life out with a person who you love, honor, and trust. The rest of it is bull crap. All expectations, the high expectations that we put on the sides, it doesn't really matter. One day you're going to be old and you're going to want someone that's going to love you regardless of how you look or feel. And all these expectations that we step into and use are going to fall by the wayside. That's just my idea on it. I did have
You want to do the other comment as well?
The other comment, there was a piece that I wrote on this subject, and
I would like to have read
that to you guys one day. Okay, yeah, but no, yeah, that's it. I think that we all subscribe to certain ideals, and we try to put those ideals off on another person. And every subscription that we have in life, whether it's a relationship, or family, or even money, it's all an agreement. And if you don't go into the agreement under the same principles, and it's worthless, if you ask me. That's all I had to say.
Okay.
It was nice speaking to you guys tonight.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
I'm going to go to Joan and then Eric, and then I'm going to come back down. So, Joan, do you have a commentary?
On marriage? I think that you have to be willing to, for me, it's less about marriage and more about the actual relationship that you have with the person. I think a lot of times we put heaviness in titles, like the caller before me said, you know, whether it's friendship or family, or, you know, we go into these relationships with the person and we have an expectation that if you are my family, it means this to me. If you are my spouse, it means this to me. If you are my child, these are all the things that we connect to expectations. And there's a societal presence that exists in relationships and in marriages where people are really not free to really communicate themselves or express themselves or be who they really are, because as a wife or as a husband, you can't do this, because not only are the eyes of your spouse on you, but the eyes of everyone who knows. Like if you've ever been to a marriage, one of the things, or a wedding, what they ask everybody in the room to do is pray and hold these people who are up at the altar accountable for their relationship. But you know, when there are issues, all of these people that show up to your wedding are not showing up to the hospital when you're sick, or they're not showing up when your car is towed, or when your lights are being cut off, or when one of you is cheating, or whatever the case may be. So I think that there are certain things that we hide from and certain things that, you know, we don't discuss. And, you know, we kind of live, like right now, our generation is in between. I want to live out loud and do everything I've ever wanted to do, and what goes on in my house stays in my house. And so it's just a very dangerous and ambiguous thing to come into a situation with somebody, and you don't really know which part of this they're going to subscribe to. So I just think that, you know, marriage is something that if you really want it to work, you have to be very self-aware before you can be selfless, because sometimes you give so much of yourself that you've given all of you away to someone who doesn't know what to do with who they are. So it's a very complicated thing.
Okay.
But hey, if people want to do it, I'm here for it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm going to go to Eric. So Eric, I've just unmuted your mic. Brother, you have commentary. You must keep it short and go.
Okay, I don't know what short means to you, but I'm gonna do the best I can. If I don't,
you got 2 minutes, brother. You got 2 minutes.
Okay, my man. Listen, first of all, again, everybody said everything that was I see or perceive that was right according to what facilitates what we're discussing, right? But again, and also saluting the fact that we're still discussing the expectation factor in the midst of this. First thing is, if we're going to do this, what is marriage? Because everybody has this idea about what's been constructed, about, you know, walking down the aisle, two people getting together, saying that they're going to do this and do that for one another, and then it's off into the sunset, and then things don't work out, right? Then you got all these other capacities that are supposed to help facilitate and help give understanding and help provide assistance in walking through this process so that the union stay together. But the first thing is this. You're talking about divorce. Listen, the only difference between what we agree in marriage and the difference between what marriage is between two things being joined together is the volition, the free will, and the acknowledgement that two people say to one another, hey, look, we get this. I get what you're saying, and you get what I'm saying, and here's why. The problem is we discuss it suitably, but we don't gain understanding, and we don't inspect the article. A lot of times we go into things, and that's not the only thing, but I'm just saying. And then on top of that, there's this thing that, what is this sister to say? Because I'm learning how to write notes. That's why I need a wife. I need a wife. I ain't no question. I need a wife fit for me. This brother said that there's no real reason or any reason that marriage should fail. Let me explain something. I understand what you meant, but there's always a reason. The question is the reason valid? And what is the reason? There's always a reason. So, and any reason is a real reason. It's just about whether or not it's a truthful and a righteous and a valid reason. Everybody can't stay together all the time. And then, go ahead, I'm sorry.
All right, I'm just saying, finish your comment. You got to land your plane.
Okay. At the end of this, I'm going to talk about the coming back together, reconciliation, right? And for those that understand.
Bro, listen, bro. You got to, like you got to finish your comment, and then we move forward.
Okay.
Like we're not going to continue on.
When the breakup comes, now we got to figure out whether or not and how we're going to continue. You're always going to continue to relate because you can't end the relationship because it's infinite, because it was birthed out of energy and you can't destroy it. So now you have to manage how is the relationship going to go forward. That's it.
Okay.
Et cetera.
All right. Cool. Thank you. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate that. All right. All right. So now I'm going to go over. Huh? You said what? All right, so now I'm going to go to Eric Cole.
I understand it's cool. I'm not offended. Don't worry about it. You don't have to explain to me. I got it. Just do your thing.
All right, no, we're good. We're good. I'll put you back in the queue, bro. Hold on. All right, so now we're going to go to Area Code 410. Area Code 410. Hello?
Hey.
Hello? Okay. Hey.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
It's Lisa.
Yeah, I know. What's happening, Lisa? What's going on? You had a commentary.
Yeah. For me, I'm very much like what I heard someone else say earlier, that I do want to be married. I've been married before 3 times now, and first time was just crazy. But the second marriage, I really wanted to work, and I had known him for years, and it just didn't work out the way that it should have. And the third time I got married because I just didn't want to be single, and that never works. But I do want to have a good relationship, but relationships like that take you making up your mind that you are going to pull together no matter what. And that sometimes is the issue, because everybody's out for self and nobody's out for the betterment of the two of you. You're concerned about what you want and not concerned about what the other person wants. And you have to be all-encompassing when you're in a relationship. You have to be concerned about what it is that you want for your unit, not just for you. And my grandparents used to say you had to have a made-up mind. You had to make up your mind that you were going to make it work no matter what. You took those vows, so you put the energy into it. And sadly, a lot of people do not see it that way, especially in today's society where everybody's about me. Everybody lives in their own space like there's no one else here. And so, you know, there's more to it than just you. You have to be happy within the unit that you choose.
Mm. All right. Well, that's a good thing to say. Now, I love all the answers that everybody's given, and actually, we find that people are remarkably pro-marriage, of course. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I personally, I know I'm a marriage dude, but, you know, I would require something to grow with me, understand me, do things like, it's not the physical me that you have to catch. You have to catch the heart, the mind,
right,
the soul.
Right.
All right, so all of those things have to be all in one, right? And then once that occurs, all of this comes together the way it's supposed to come together, and that's what it is. But the one thing that I've learned from watching people who've stayed together for many, many years is that their seasons changed frequently, and they changed along because they chose to. They chose to stay along. And that was one of the things, like, I have two friends, they've been married for quite some time, right?
Mm-hmm.
We lost it. All right, Miss Gordon, we lost you. They were married for quite some time. They're still married, right?
20
but,
years.
Listen, they've been married for quite some time, right? But they came from broken situations. And they literally said that we helped raise each other, right?
Right.
And they said that they both like we're like the exchange of powers, as we would call it. You know, she became his strength, he was her weakness. That type of thing that was going on. But they literally figured out things together, and you know they're
definitely
very successful. You know, matter of fact, people don't even know that they're the same people because of how much success they are. But it's two people who stuck together in the situation where they decided that, listen, it's us. It's you and me against this world,
right,
and against anybody else. And so literally years and years and years later, right, after, you know, they upgraded houses 4 or 5 times, you know, one person is in the medical field, the other person works for a corporation, you know, they do a lot of things, they have a lot of stuff, you know, and then, you know, people who were parents start showing up, you know, they've kicked the addiction, they've done all of this stuff, they've learned to stop running around in the streets and all this other stuff, and they show up at their front door, and they would love on them. And they say, and you know, no matter how duplicitous they were, they was like, listen. I would like, listen, if it was me, like for him and his pops, I would have been like, I said, I would have punched this dude in his mouth every chance I seen him. You know, I would have did that. You know, but he said, I had to forgive him because my forgiving him makes me better. And so, you know, he has limits. He has things. He doesn't let certain things happen. But that being said, those things change. And people get better. But I say that to say this. All right. Here's a crazy scenario. Because we're gonna move into our final. We're gonna move into our one of our final segments now. And this is from Psychology Today. All right. Nancy and Daryl are a good example of a couple who deliberately chose polyamory, for its opportunities for growth, as well to allow a broader sexual context within their marriage. They were both virgins in their early 20s when they married 40 years ago. After 10 years of being happily monogamous, while attending a relationship seminar, they discovered that neither one was invested in sexual exclusivity. It turned out they had simply defaulted. Notice I said that, simply defaulted to monogamy, as do many people. Mm. Once they took a look at it, they realized that their only reason for continuing to be monogamous was the fear of the unknown. Confident of their love, their compatibility, communication skills, and their commitment to each other, they decided to open their marriage. It's less common now than in the past for couples to have no sexual experience before marrying, but they know of such companies who found polyamory as a way to jointly embark on the adventures they missed out in their youth. Now, all right, real shit. Oh, come on. Really? Are people getting kicked out?
Oh, I'm still here.
Hi, Dylan.
No, because I know sometimes Blog Talk will kick people out, and I just seen people kicked out. Van, do you see people getting kicked out? Because I see people dropping like crazy.
Yeah, it's just looks like they're just dropping. I don't know if it's them or if it's Blog Talk.
That's why I was like worried if it's Blog Talk. But all right, so here's the thing. All right. Given the shortage, I'm just hypothetically, I'm not saying this is something you have to do. I'm not saying this is all your thing. If you like it, if you like it, I love it. I won't yuck nobody's yum. Whatever people are thinking about. But here's the thing. Since there's a shortage of good men, what if you entered into a polyamory situation where you got everything that you needed, communication, connection, all the stuff that you needed. However, literally being in the situation, you'd have to share your mate. Now, I'm not an expert on polyamory. I know very little. I don't hold myself out to an expert. I do know there's someone who participates in it. But the thing is that, in certain cultures, people have multiple situations. There are people who, they have that one situation, people growing up where they find out that their father has a whole other family on the other side of the town. But what would those economics look like if those resources were pooled? What would it be if actually in your poly triad or quad or everything else, everybody pooled their resources and it pushed everybody to be better? What if? All right. What if that actually became a need? What if it actually became a function? It's practiced in a lot of cultures, but literally and figuratively, I want to go around first and ask people's opinion on polyamory. And, and it's going to be really brief. You don't have to be winded on it. We're just going to go through really quickly. And then I'm going to start from the bottom. I'm going to start from Dawood. One comment, one conversation, go. Dawood.
Polyamory?
Yeah.
Damn. You threw me in there first. Never tried it, to be very honest with you. So I don't have a great deal of depth of knowledge on it. I think that a lot of things are moving that way, though, I would say that much. I don't know how you do it healthy. because I don't think that a lot of us are ready for it. I do think that a lot of us who say we are really aren't, and you got to really see if you're built, you know, built for that life, because a relationship is about taking care of each other's needs, and when a person feels that somebody's taking care of their needs more than theirs, that's when there's problems. So that's the negative, but the positive is that, you know, there's a lot of sharing. The people that I've seen do it, you know, and have successfully do it, which is very few, I would say that, are happy in it. It's just that, but I think that society as a whole is moving that way, is what I would say. I just don't know how we get there. Hello?
Hello?
Sorry, my bad. I was on mute. Jesus Christ. My bad.
Oh,
okay. No, I didn't drop. I was on mute.
Okay.
All right. Edwina.
Yes, I'm here. I believe I'm pro polyamory. I believe that it's not for everyone. And the scenario that you gave, where it's a choice between remaining in a relationship and losing this perfect spouse, that spouse is not perfect for you if what they're asking you to do doesn't feel right in your heart. I think that those types of relationships are possible if both people or all of the people involved are on the same page. Because in actuality, women, we're doing it. I'm not going to say only women, but more of us are sharing because of the ratio of men to women than we like to say. We're just not doing it by choice.
Okay. All right. Lisa.
I've had the opportunity to be a part of a polyamorous relationship, but I find for myself that if I'm invested in you, if I have really strong feelings for you, I'm not good at sharing. So in order for me to be in a polyamorous situation, it has to be with somebody that I like, but I don't love. Because
Wow.
then I'm not jealous.
Okay. Like but not love. All right. So I'm just going to run through real quick. Joe?
Yeah, I'm all for it, but like I said, you know, it takes a special mindset. And don't forget that, you know, polyamory is pretty much about sex. You know, if you got a good partner and mate, you know, y'all handle the business part of the relationship, but the fun part is where polyamory comes in. So I just look at it that way.
Okay. J-Rob.
You got to be a real secure cat to want to do the polyamory thing. It's a little bit deeper than just the intimacy part. These are full-fledged
yes.
relationships on both sides of the fence. And people think swingers are polyamorous and polyamorous are swingers. That ain't it. Swingers, that's about sex. Polyamory,
mm-hmm.
you literally are in a full-fledged relationship with more than one person. And
mm-hmm.
intimacy is part of that, but you're in a full-fledged relationship. And it will test your mettle. And literally, like Dawood said, you got to be something serious if that's where your head is going. Pun unintended.
Okay. Van Meadows.
Man, first of all, I got 2 points. One, I'm selfish about mine. I don't like sharing. Two, it's hard enough as it is to try and satisfy one woman. But then to bring in a whole nother woman with all the different emotions and moods and physical changes.
But what if it's one woman and two men?
Well, that would never happen for me. Sorry. Like I said, I don't share.
Okay, I'm just asking. Danielle.
I am not equipped to function in a relationship like that because if I'm in a relationship with someone, I love them. And I cannot have that same kind of love
for another woman in my relationship. I can love another woman on a sister vibe, but I cannot, I will not share. I'm not capable of doing that. I can't do it. It's not possible for me. Anything's possible, but not for me. I was invited to be a part of a relationship like that, and it broke my heart when he proposed that to me, and I had to walk away from the relationship because he insisted that it was a good thing. No, not for me. So I'm not going to, I couldn't function. I couldn't. I'm not built like that. So no.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go to Angel Kim first. Angel Kim?
Hello. For me, it's a no. I'm not built like that. It has nothing to do with being secure with who I am. It's just that, you know, I don't want to have to deal with all the extra. If I'm already dealing with you and the issues that we may have, just the two of us, you're talking about introducing other people into the fold. I mean, I see it works for some people, and hey, that's all good. But yeah, for me, it would be a no.
Okay. All right. I have to do it. Hold on for a second. We have 90 seconds to call in to continue the conversation as we move into overtime. That number is 319-527-6300. This is Epiphany Radio Universe presents War Council. What do you need? We are talking about relationships. We talked about being single, relationships, being married. Now we're talking about poly. So you have approximately 1 minute and 10 seconds to call in. The number is 319-527-6300. The Blog Talk Lady is exceedingly mean and will kick you off if you're streaming. If you want to continue the conversation, meet us in the after hour chat. Please make sure you have 51 seconds. The number is 319-527-6300. That's what we're on. All right. So you have approximately 30 seconds, and we're going. All right. In the meantime, in between time, all right, I'm going to come back here to Eric. Eric?
Yep, quick. I am here. Listen, right now I decline to say anything because I'm going to tell you I have too much to say, but I tell you I definitely can bring this thing home. But whatever it is, but salute to you. I like everything everybody said, and it was a pleasure to even be invited. Salute to you. I love it. War Council, I'm going to definitely support you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. We'll put you back in your queue. All right. Now, I waited for Wendell, because Wendell does have expertise on this. Wendell, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Wendell. So
I am here.
I leave this to you. All right. And can you please explain poly and polyamorous and the difference in the relationships?
Yes. All right. Yes. Poly, from the Greek word meaning many. Amory, from the Latin word amor, meaning love. So literally many loves. Which is different than polygamy. Polygamy is when you are dealing with multiple spouses, whether we're dealing with husbands or wives. Polygyny is the practice of having multiple wives, so one husband with multiple wives. And then polyandry is one wife with multiple husbands. In those dynamics, it is not a necessity if someone is polygamous for the same-sex spouses to have any type of intimacy or relationship with each other outside of the fact that they are both married to the same person. So that would lead into descriptions of how different polygamous or polyamorous dynamics take shape, whether you want triads, Vs, quads, polycules, relationship anarchy, and whatnot. All of these are just different descriptors of how a polyamorous relationship can take form. But what it does not do is to serve describe the nature of the dynamics that exist within the relationship. So the thing for those who are polyamorous is that I think ultimately would want to be expressed and at some point embraced and understood is that monogamy is a type of relationship, and all the different types of relationships that stem from a monogamous mindset serve to reinforce that monogamy is in fact the only acceptable relationship style. And that is something that in today's day and age obviously is no longer the case. And as people begin to exercise their autonomy over creating the kind of relationship that serves them, that at some point it'll be incumbent upon the rest of society to acknowledge that. And whether you agree with it, whether you would participate in it yourself is irrelevant. The key is to accept that it exists and allow it to exist openly instead of something in the shadows. And I think that by having monogamy as the default relationship style, it actually exacerbates the reality that not everyone who espouses to or purports to be monogamous is in fact monogamous. Because then we would have, if that wasn't the case, we wouldn't have as much cheating. There would be much more emotional intelligence, much more of an ability to deal with one's own jealousy, which is simply a natural human emotion, whether you're monogamous or polyamorous. All the different issues that exist in the realm of monogamy would also, present themselves in the realm of polyamory, currently present themselves in the realm of monogamy. They're just not dealt with. With the degree of intentionality is required to be a polyamorous. So that was what I was saying.
Well, so here's because number one, your voice is too deep, and you're making me sleepy because it's soothing as fuck. We got to stop that. We got to stop. Shit is too soothing. You're making me drowsy. You know, knowledge base and everything. God damn it, Wendell. I can see it. But more importantly, now everybody can unmute your mics because we're in the after hour. We're just gonna let the conversation go free and everybody can talk because that's what we're gonna do at this point. So, because I'm gonna throw some shit out there and see what y'all do, and we're gonna talk about it. So you know, you can unmute your mic if you have a mic to unmute. Hold on. Let me see. I don't know. Area code 216. Who is this? Who is? Area code 216.
Hello.
Tia.
Hello.
Yes. Yeah.
This is Tia. Okay.
Okay. Did you have a question you wanted to ask?
No, I just actually, since you were going to let the conversation flow freely, I would like to speak when I decide to.
Okay, we'll hop in. All right, so now Wendell definitely just gave us a well wheel with that. So here's my question to all of you, all right? Say if you have a person you love, right, but they're not great at sex, and you have a person who's really great at sex, but you only like them. But when you put them together, this is an asshole conversation, you put them together, you get them together, you can function. Now, one is not jealous of the other, and they actually don't mind that you see the both of them. Is that polyamory?
That's fun.
Yes. Yeah. If everyone is able to speak honestly, openly, and accept what each other's point of view and truth is, and come to an agreement, that is 100% polyamory. Because every
okay.
person
okay.
serves a purpose in each other's lives.
Okay, so mm-hmm. so, ladies, if you could have this with two men, would you?
I kind of sort of have had that. I have not always been the person I am now. And in my past, there was a time when I had a good man who was unable to be sexual and was in full agreement that I should have lover. And I had a physical relationship with someone else who was younger and stronger and was a pretty good help for the relationship that I had. And everybody was aware of everybody. But mm-hmm. I eventually got twisted in the midst of it. My own emotions were my downfall in that situation because I was unhappy with being unfaithful to a person that I loved as much as I loved him, even though I knew our physical relationship couldn't be.
So now, if I could ask, mm-hmm. Was it simply the fact that you were that you had the ability and the desire to be physically intimate with someone else that made you feel like you weren't being faithful, or were you actually doing something that just went against your programming?
It was kind of a situation where as I was with the person that I was sleeping with away from the house, and the person that I was in love with was at home alone and had a serious illness and had an attack, and I got home in time to see the ambulance pull in, and the guilt hit me hard because if I had been mm-hmm. home, maybe I could have controlled things more and been more aware of what was going on with him, and it wouldn't have gotten to that point.
Okay. So yes, so then it's a feeling of guilt more than lack of fidelity, lack of faithfulness.
Right. It was, but yeah, and I felt like if I hadn't have been out with him, then I would have been home taking care of him like I should have been.
Forgiving.
Okay.
Giving yourself and space is a key, because if you have negotiated boundaries with your partners, and you were operating within those boundaries, then it's not a matter of fault.
Neither of them blamed me for anything. Neither of them saw me as being wrong in what I did, but I felt like, because mm-hmm. I'm the caregiver person, I'm that person, that's just who I am. So me mm-hmm. not being there in that time of crisis really tugged at my own consciousness.
And just
all right.
made you feel helpless. I can
right.
you.
Okay. So because I want other people to answer. So yeah, we'll take a few more comments. Go ahead.
I think. Can I speak?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Can you hear me? Oh, this is Edwina. I think an underpinning for a lot of women in this conversation is that we're not, it takes a lot of empowerment to openly be able to be this honest about our sexuality on a day-to-day basis and say that sharing in any way is okay for any extended period of time. It's fine if it's something, you know, if it's something that's a one-off for whatever reason, but for a long period of time to be able to say, you know, we automatically, it's hard not to think of yourself with the same derogatory terms that other people might look at you as being in a situation like that. I don't think it would be the same for most men if they were able to accept it as it would be for women. You wouldn't get as much opposition just from, you know, the past, from growing up in an atmosphere, you know, that believes that women are supposed to be righteous and faithful, or they're, you know, those other labels come into play. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To answer your question, yes, I would be completely okay with a relationship like that. For me, it's not so much of sharing. Just so everybody else know, I am polyamorous. When it comes to being poly, there may be some things that it's impossible for me to expect one person to be able to wholeheartedly satisfy me. And that's when, at that point is when I felt like I knew that I was polyamorous, is because I was seeking too much from one person. I wanted him to be my best friend. I wanted him to be my lover. I wanted him to be the maintenance man. I wanted him to be the provider. I wanted him to be all these things, and he's not a robot. So at that point, I had to ask myself, how can I expect one person to deliver all of these qualities if they don't have it in them to deliver? And why is it wrong for me to need that friendship from somebody else, or need that mechanic from somebody else, or get that from someone else? Not necessarily just need it, but actually receive it from somebody else. So it's not so much of like I'm sharing, it's actually getting qualities of things that I need and I require from different people, and being able to give it instead of that person expecting me to be superwoman, the nurse, the maid, the doctor, the teacher, the lawyer. He can have his own lawyer, doctor, teacher, and different women or different people, however he chooses to move within his relationship or our relationship or however it works. And that's all I have.
Okay.
Anyone else want to deal with that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's no way. My body would not respond. If I'm in love with that man, if I love him, there's no way my body would respond to another man. I'm not built like that. I understand everything that the lady said before me, but I don't have that mindset. I think if you're going to be in that kind of relationship, it's very important to have that mindset, and it works out just fine that way. But for me, no, I'm either leaving or I'm just not doing that. It's not going to happen. I couldn't do it. So no.
Okay. All right. We'll return to you, Wendell. Who's that? Who's speaking? Please say your name first.
It's Daoud.
Is that John?
Daoud.
Oh, Daoud. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Again, and the sister, two sisters before me kind of said some of what I'm going to say. I think that And I get this kind of from the world-renowned therapist, Esther Perel. We as a society have shifted into an unhealthy mode where we expect much more from one person than we ever did in our history. You used to be able to get various different emotional feelings from the various different people in your village. And now, in modern times, we're expecting that from one person. And I think that's why I think that the idea that the reason why marriages don't work out or even polygamy doesn't work out is expectation, to me, is patently false. It's much more nuanced than that. And the reality of it is that we expect a lot from one person, and one person expects a lot from us. Those of us who have been divorced or been divorced on, we can confidently say – that the other person generally went out saying, I thought you was more. I thought you was more. I thought you was going to give me more. And you look at them and you say, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? So you try to grow into this person that they're asking you to be that you never was supposed to be. They were supposed to get that from something or somebody else. Maybe not sexually, but emotionally. And to me, I think sometimes we confuse the emotional world with the sexual world. We confuse emotional needs with sexual needs also. And so if there was anything I was to say to this, I would say that. In addition to that, I think a lot of us, we're all pretty much poets, performers, public speakers, whatever. And if you have somebody that's not in that realm, they're in a polygamous relationship with you and your career. Because mm-hmm. as you begin to have stardom and fame, they got to share you with a whole lot of other people. And if they're not in that area and get the same amount of attention as you do, this is number one reason why a lot of stars, actors, and athletes divorce, not because that person couldn't put it down in the bed or this, that, and the next thing. A lot of times they can't deal with the amount of attention that you're getting, not from sexual partners, but just from everybody. Huh. And they'll be like, you know, I'm supposed to be this person and that person, and all of these people love you, and I feel like you're not exclusive to me. So I think that in all reality, we have to grow up emotionally eventually and choose somebody for what they can give us and then seek after the other emotional sides from the friends that we build. And, of right. course, our generation, because most of us here on this phone are older people, but, you know, the younger generation, they champion cutting people off. And I always be trying to tell them, no, you don't want to do that. You may need that person for some emotional need in a time of need. And you're talking about cutting them off and throwing it on Facebook. In reality, mm-hmm. you could have needed that person. So I think that we have to really grow up to the point where we genuinely seek emotional connections with people that fill needs so that we don't put a whole lot on one partner.
Yes. That's a good idea.
Matter of fact, I have a question that was sent in. And it's a question for the panel. And everybody who's got their mics open, we're after hours. What if it's multiple men and women, a whole family dynamic, not always sexual, though?
That, repeat that. That would be
say that again, brother.
The
that
question
again?
For the panel. The question for the panel. The question for the panel is, what if it's multiple men and women, a whole family dynamic, but it's not always sexual? Now, I've actually seen this. I know people who are doing this right now, like literally right now, that they're literally, they're a pod, right? They're a pod. Mm-hmm. They're literally mm-hmm. a pod, right? And they swing on the side. Crazy, but it happens. It's a real shit. So, I mean, like.
He's
yeah.
a girlfriend in
so
a relationship.
Oh. Well, I say in the polyamorous world, that's called a tribe. But there's somebody
exactly.
else that can speak more to that than I can, because I'm not really tribe ready, but that is called a tribe, and it exists.
I mean,
yep.
Yeah. I literally know. I know of a person. It's her mate. They both, he has a girlfriend. She has a boyfriend. And they all see each other. Literally.
I think that only works as long as everyone is having their needs met. That's the problem. Because if what if in some unfortunate situation, one person decides they're no longer in it now, it's kind of like there's a third wheel somewhere. I think that the idea that to get those needs met in non-sexual ways is also, you know, considered a part of this is another perspective that I found interesting.
And okay. I want to speak to that point, is that it is not, being polyamorous is not purely a sexual endeavor. It's not purely a sexual exercise. This past weekend, I went on a vacation with some friends,
who are actually also poly, and they had their children, and I had my children. So there were 5 adults, there were 8 children in a house, and we all went there, decided to go to the beach. But the fact that all of the adults were there watching over and caring for all of the children, and some of these folks don't even have biological children of their own, and then some like have multiple children. But the mindset was, we are going to share this communal space with the intention of going to the beach, having a good time, with the children, having an experience with them, and then also being with each other in whatever way was comfortable and consensually agreed upon. Now, some people just did not want to have any type of physical intimacy, but they were there because they wanted to be in a support role, and that's a need that they had, and they were able to give and receive on that level. There were others who wanted to be much more physically intimate, and they were able to do so with their consenting partner. And then there are others who were somewhere in the middle, who were just there to hang out and have fun, but hey, if there was a turn up, hey, I'm with the shits.
I'm sorry, I'm not used to hearing you say that. You say, hey, I'm with the shit. I'm like, Wendell.
But that's the reality. I think that if people in general would shed their pretense about what should or should not be in a relationship, then they open themselves up to the possibility of what could be. And it's that space of what could be that is difficult for people to navigate, because it's just outside of the realm of their comfort zone. But that's not a bad thing. It's called growth and evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
All
right,
I agree. Hold on, I got another question. This came through. They said, so what's the difference between dating multiple people and poly? All right, so that was a question that just came through.
Okay. I don't want to dominate the conversation. I'm going to let someone else have that.
Okay. Tia, do you want to answer
I think that there's really not a difference. It's just that a lot of people don't know how to identify. And it depends on how you're dating those people. Now, if everybody knows about everybody, then you very well might as well call yourself poly if you are familiar with the term poly. When I was younger, I wasn't familiar with the term poly, but I dated multiple people. One, I'm bisexual, so I'm always going to date multiple people, because no man can be a woman and no woman can be a man. But it was always disclosed. And I had no idea what poly was. I didn't know what it was, but I've always moved in that manner. And once I grew and learned and educated myself, I'm like, hey, there's a community of us. There's a name. There's a title for it. So it depends on what level of dating you're doing. There really isn't a difference, just depending on how knowledgeable you are about being monogamous and being polyamorous.
Okay. All right. Another question. All right. So, is it possible to love more than one person at one time and be able to share your love amongst those 3 people?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I would answer that question by saying, for those who are parents of multiple children,
mm-hmm.
is it possible for you to love all of your children and love them without hierarchy is it possible for you to love all of your children at the same time?
Okay. Most definitely.
Because if you can love your children at the same time, then it demonstrates that you have the capacity to love people, and that love is not a zero-sum game, which is the perspective that people have been conditioned to take into the romantic sphere of love. How is it that we can have multiple platonic friends, but when it comes to intimacy,
I need to back you up real quick. I need some pushback on that. The zero-sum game that happens in relationships. Let's approach that because that's an interesting thing. And you know, I want to go back to the zero-sum game, and I want to go back to emotional intimacy connections, and actually bring those two things into it, because I think that when we're thinking about relationships, a lot of us are desiring emotional connection and intimacy. Like that's like the goal. That's the thing you want. Oh, I want the emotional connection. I want to feel good about you. I want to, let's breathe together.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. You want the hot breath. You know, and you know, if you want to have, I like hot breath. Yeah. I don't know about anybody else, but hot breath is good for me. Anyway, hot breath works for me. I don't know. You know, you just got to have it in a certain place. I know Dawood is like, Mohammed, you stupid as hell. Anyway, I want to jump in
on that topic. You're talking about emotional intimacy, right?
Yeah.
Let me just throw this out here. See, I was having a discussion with this sister the other day. And, you know, she was saying to me, she said, y'all Scorpios, y'all are the kings of romance. I think that sometimes we have, I know myself, I do, we confuse emotional intimacy with romanticism.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is romanticism is a charming tactic. You know what I'm saying? It may come from a place of love. It may come from a place of emotional connection, but it's a tactic. It's something that you use. It's something that you use to draw somebody in. If you know your attraction style, me, I know I'm a charmer. I charm. You know what I'm saying? I may not be as gifted with the words as other people, but I know I could charm the pants off anybody. You know what I'm saying? And so therefore, I know my charming skill comes from romanticism. It doesn't come from emotional intimacy. Emotional intimacy is the end result of romantic, you know, being romantic or romanticizing a man or a woman. And the both of y'all go in depth at the same level to the emotional depth that you can go to, which is understanding and connection. But it's not romanticism, because romanticism is a tactic that you use. It's something that you project. It's something, it's like an action verb. So I just think that a lot of times we confuse that because of TV and European media. It makes you think that you are being emotionally intimate with somebody just because you're being romantic, like a candlelight dinner or being by a lake or something like that. Those are the charming tactics. I know all about that. But at the base level, when a person asks you a question and that question comes from a really deep place and you don't do something stupid like laugh or clown them or just don't answer the question, but you could go deep with them and answer that question, that to me is emotional intimacy.
Right.
Okay.
But I also
I want to come back to the zero sum game too. But I want to make sure. Edwina, are you still here?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, and I want to make sure certain people here. I know John is here. I know Danielle is here. But I want to talk about the zero sum game, and I want to make sure that we go through when we get everybody. So we're talking about zero sum game in relationships. We know that. To me, I feel like it's a manipulation to get the things that you want, literally to keep and hold on to the things that you want by manipulating the things, and you know doing being a wolf and then playing a lamb, doing that type of bullshit that happened. I know. I'll just be honest. Like under duress, emotional duress, I was forced into marriage. Period. I said it. There it is. Because a person knew. They said, listen, I got his kids. He's stupid. He's emotionally dumb. He's not in contact. He don't really talk to nobody. Let me provide this pressure and see how it works. And then it was like, so you're going to do this or else. If you don't do this, I'm going to do this. If this doesn't look like this, it's going to be this. You know, combine that with all the different things that are going on. Now, it almost shocks me of how much the manipulation was. Like when I see manipulation now, I don't even have no words for it. I'd just be like, I just like, nigga shit, great. Sorry, that's just me. That's just me. But that being said, have you been in a zero-sum game? Has someone tried to emotionally manipulate you? And if so, did they do it with the essence of having multiple partners when they did so? You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and literally they met their mate who they already had multiple partners, and they lived in a monogamy situation for 10 years with that individual. But that person was always that, you know, and the funny thing is that, like, they stayed faithful to that person, but that person was never faithful. And I just think, like, that person was just on some other stuff, greedy, whatever, what have you. But have you been in a zero-sum game? So, Angel Kim, what do you think? Let's start with you.
No, that's not me.
Have you ever been emotionally manipulated?
Have I been emotionally manipulated? Yeah. I mean, I think many people have.
Okay.
My ex, you know, he manipulated me into staying with him as long as he did because he had me feeling like no one else would want me, you know?
Okay.
And I did things for him that I wouldn't normally do, for, you know, on my own because trying to please him. And that was sexually and any other thing, you know?
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's go to, hold on, let me see, because I was off, I was reading something. Let's go to Van Meadows. Why are you laughing? That wasn't even a good laugh. That was an evil laugh.
Absolutely been emotionally manipulated. When you are a man that genuinely love your kids, that is dangerous ammunition for a woman that just wants to use you. So absolutely. Absolutely. Because she knows that I would do almost any and everything within reason when it comes to my kids. So she used that. She used the hell out of that to put me in the position where I've had to rebuild my life and go through a painful divorce and fight for custody of my kids. Yes, I fought for custody of my kids. Even talked to my attorney about getting custody of her son. And the courts would have allowed it because I was the only daddy that that boy knows. So, yeah, the things that she said to me in front of my kids is a whole nother chapter that I don't even talk about. So, yeah.
No, bro. I know that feeling. I was hanging out with my son this weekend, and the amount of joy that I felt at just watching him, and you know, like you see your son, you be like, oh, you're going to be super dope. Like, you know, just for the way, and it's like he, you know, his whole self-care routine, how he carries himself, everything else. And I realized, like, had I cut and bailed, like, all right, story time, 2 minutes. All right, so I was in D.C., and I was going to get a teaching job. And I love D.C. I loved everything about D.C., the smell, walking up and down U Street, the whole nine. I walked to Adams Morgan from Howard University. I was crazy, right? And so I literally had a friend down there. His name was Matt. He basically pretty much got me a job at this school. And so my father was like, go. He was like, go. Right? And at that time, I really didn't have the confidence that I needed to take the adventure. You know, I was scared and I was worried about my children. And so if you're unsure about something, someone who emotionally manipulates you will prey upon that. And they're like, oh, you're going to leave me and the kids. You're going to leave your kids behind. You're going to start a new life and forget about your children and everything else. And then I thought about the space of time that I spent without my father. I thought about the space of time that I spent without my mother and how that felt. I thought about the different things that went on and what it felt like. And I, you know, at the time, you know, nobody's thinking about mental health. Nobody's thinking about, you know, talking to somebody, getting rid of the feelings, and then just going on and doing the things you need to do. Nobody's thinking about any of that. The only thing we're thinking about is, oh, you know, I think you're right. And then once that happened, once that person knew that they could apply that pressure, knew that they could leverage the fuck out you every time they got, because they got your kids and you love them. So all the stuff I had to go through. And then I see this man standing before me, you know, who's a specimen, you know, who's becoming a doctor. He's doing all this other stuff. And he's here watching damn cartoons and eating cereal. And I just laughed because it was like he's like, yeah, I'm going to take this adulthood off. I'm going to be a kid right now. I'm going to eat all the fruit in the house. I'm going to do all this other shit. You know, it was just crazy. I was like, yo. And then when we talked, the craziest thing about us talking was, like he literally, like, the time and space, he's like, yo, you know, when he came to live with me, like, he could just be a kid. And it was just like he was a kid. Like, I forgot he was like, yo, it was so crazy. I was like, yo, he's like, okay, Dad, blah, 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 such and such. And I remember, like, when he came to live with me, he was the same damn way. And it made me realize that he could take off everything that he had become and be my son once again. And I fought for that. Beautiful. And now I'm seeing it. And it's the dope. Mm-hmm. It was the dopest thing. I was like, yo, I went into like one of my people's runs a room, right? Self-care Sundays, right? And I was like, I got to tell you about my joy. Because I was like, man, listen. I was like, I'm so glad I fought for him. I'm so glad I just didn't break out. I didn't just go and just be like, yo, me. You know, and I might have sacrificed all the things I could have done. But for him. And in this moment, seeing him on the couch eating some damn cereal and chilling, talking about he cold, looking like he was when he was a baby. I got pictures, right? I work for that. And so the manipulations, even though you fight through them, once you get done with it, you may not see it now. But when you see it later, it's going to be the world to you. Like, I've been on a high because of that. I'm tired, but I've been on a high. But anyway, back to what we're saying. All right, that was me. So let's run through, because it is a school night, and I'm up here reminiscing, telling stories, and giving dissertations, and I'm on some bullshit. Anyway, so zero sum, right? Wendell, you're going to end it. We're going to go through Danielle. We go J.M. Robinson, Joe, the verbal mind dancer, Lisa, I got you on here, Edwina, of course, okay. Tia, we're going to come back to you, and we're going to rock out. So let's go to Danielle. Zero sum, relationship, everything else like that. See what happens. Oh, wait. Okay, I got another question. Hold on. I got another question. Another question came through. But go ahead. Go.
The first part, no. But the manipulation part, oh, absolutely. All of my relationships, they used to manipulate me because they knew what they could get from me, what I brought to the table, but they wanted to have their cake and eat it too. And I just wasn't having it. But yeah, I've been emotionally, mentally manipulated throughout the majority of my marriage. But, you know, you live and you learn, basically. I know what I'm not going to deal with now.
Right. What you ain't going to deal with? Go ahead.
You ain't going to manipulate me in no way, shape, or form. I'm not having it, okay? Because having that done to me, I've learned a lot of ways to do it myself, but I would never do that. I'm just not going to put up with it, and I smell it coming a mile away. If that's what you bring it, then go on another direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm so serious. Don't even play with it. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go from you to J-Rob.
Nah. I've dated women who tried that, and it just ends up making me laugh because that kind of stuff is comical to me, and it's easy for me to just look at old girl and be like, you know what? I'll be back and never come back. So, nah.
Mm.
I got too much of a sense of humor, and I'll just walk away and find somebody else. So.
Okay.
Like a sitcom. Mm.
Like a sitcom. Joe.
No way, no how, man. I can't deal with that crap, man. I mean, you know, I write too much and I observe too much to be even pulled down that road. I'm like, J-Rob, I bust out laughing too because I see the shit a mile away. But nah, man, can't deal with that.
Hmm. Wow. Okay, Lisa.
Yeah, I've been there. I'm the person, like I said, I'm the caregiver. I like taking care of somebody when I'm physically, emotionally committed to it. And so because I'm that person, people tend to go, well, she's going to take care of me anyway, no matter what. I'm going to do whatever the hell I feel like. And in my last relationship, he had nerve enough to verbalize the fact that he was trying to piss me off, and he was basically like, I'm here because I feel bad for you because you need the extra help, and you're not who I thought you were, and da-da-da-da-da. So when I came to my senses and realized what was going on, I just kind of stepped away from it, which is the first time in my life that I've ever really done that. I've always been the one that gets left. I'm never the one who leaves. And at that point, if I had not done what I needed to for me, I would have been, I wouldn't be here with you guys right now because he would have controlled all of that. So, you know, it was just, I had to come to a point where I was sick and tired of being the person manipulated because I grew up with a whole family of manipulators. It was what I was taught to be. And it's all new to me to get out of those kinds of situations at this point, even at my age. So it's a learning curve for me. Yeah, I've been manipulated a lot of times and been in those situations. And I'm learning now to open my eyes to what I really feel is going on, and you feel it, but you're so used to it. It's like putting a frog in a pan of water and turning the heat on low. You know, the frog don't jump out because the water is so gradually getting warm that he doesn't realize he's being boiled. And I've kind of been that person my whole life. And I'm learning now to jump out of the pan when I feel the water getting warm.
Crap.
You there?
I'm talking. I was mad talking. I said, or somebody could be peeing in the water next to you. But that was a bad joke. Never mind. Watch for the die. Anyway.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying.
Right.
If you ever in the water, if you in a pool and you feel the water get warm all of a sudden, look for the die. They put dye in the water nowadays. You look for the blue or red track. Look for it.
Oh,
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You know, you jump out the water. I'm just telling people. You'll pay attention.
Right.
They do these things now. Edwina.
Hey. So as far as, I think that a lot of times, too many times, people going into marriage with it's like a forced sense of bringing another person security, you know? They look for you to make themselves secure. And in doing that, you're just in like this shared space of trying to meet somebody else's expectations. So as far as zero sum and being manipulated, yeah, I feel like I've been in situations of being manipulated. I've been in the same relationship for 20 years, and it's going through its seasons. I met him when I was 20, and I prided myself on being a submissive person to him, and I think he took advantage of that, but he also kept up his end of the bargain as far as that was concerned. And then we went into different phases of our lives where we became partners and we became closer, and then we came into phases when we respect each other, but we hate each other at the same time. And, you know, we're married now, so there's things that you know, we're in the situation where, Mojave, you spoke of being in, where it's like, do you stay for your children or do you walk away for what's best for yourself? And it's like, you go through all of those phases, and it's manipulation when you're just accepting it.
Good one. All right. I think I want to try. Oh, yeah. All right. So, Dawood.
Yes, sir. The question is surrounding manipulation, right?
Yeah. Is there a song?
Damn. See, for me, do I want to say all this on this show? I think you can be manipulated when you don't address the elephant in the room. I think you can really be manipulated when you leave yourself open and you have not addressed something that really needs to be addressed. At least that's the situation in the case that I've dealt with, and the men that I've dealt with through domestic violence classes. When you got something that you don't address, you can be manipulated. When you address that thing, you become all powerful and you no longer can be manipulated. Being a person who has always tried to be a hero or superhero, I was always manipulated by the person that played like they wanted to be saved. Once I addressed the fact that I was here for people who really needed me, then I could go forward and live in honesty and see the people who needed to be saved and who didn't need to be saved. And, you know, other situations I've had in my life where either I was in the situation, but there was no love there, and I was trying to seek love elsewhere, and the person would always point to the fact, well, you're still in that situation. That allowed me to be manipulated. Once I took myself out of that situation, there was no more manipulation. I just feel like a lot of times we be playing victim, and we act like somebody is just out there to point the finger and manipulate us, when in reality, you 9 times out of 10 get manipulated when you live in some kind of falsity or you haven't addressed the elephant in the room, and people who are manipulators exploit that. They cannot attack you from the front. They can only attack you from the side. But if you live in with a facade in the front, then it allows them to attack you from the side. And to me, as long as you live in honesty and truth, you can't be manipulated. But if you got something to hide, or you're trying to be somebody you're not, or you have something that you haven't addressed, whether it's honest or dishonest, you can be manipulated. And that's why a lot of times I hate talking to my mentor who's a Virgo, because he always corners me and, you know, nails me to the wall in the corner and gets to what it is that I am faking or not truly being, so that he can help me to stop being manipulated.
Wow. That's dope. All right, we're going to go to Tia.
I'm here. This is kind of a tough question, but I definitely connect with the folk before me. I've actually been manipulated. I allowed myself to be manipulated, and I say that because I was the manipulator. I was the person who manipulated other people, and it was kind of an unconscious type of thing. I spoke before earlier where I mentioned that I've always been the type of person who would have multiple partners or, you know, date multiple people and people know about other people, but I also was the person that was afraid of commitment. And that's what they didn't know about me, that while I date you or I talk to you, I'm not willing to commit to either of you, even getting married, and I never intended on committing. to that person. I actually married, walked down the aisle and said I do. And I never had any intention on committing to that to the person that they were. And it wasn't that I was doing it consciously. I wasn't trying to hurt them or manipulate them, but because I was afraid of commitment and I didn't realize it at that point. I used to be the one that was manipulating. So I got into a relationship where I felt like I wanted to commit now, like, because I realized that this was my problem. And I allowed this person to manipulate me into whatever they shaped, form they thought was possible. I mean, security, make me feel like I was worthless, that nobody else wanted me, because all these other years I was going around manipulating different random people unconsciously, and I felt guilty about it. So I felt like this is what I deserve now at this point. Once I came into my truth, once I came into the love style that I'm in now, once I've been able to identify who I am, no, I have not been manipulated, and I can't be manipulated no more. And I also do not do the manipulation, because there's nothing to hide. I know who I am. I know the people that I surround myself with know me, because I'm telling them who I am. I'm being honest and open. So I definitely agree with that brother when he said there's some things to hide and you can be manipulated by that. When you have something to hide and you're holding on, you're trying to be something or be something different. But now that I'm living in my truth and I've grown and I've become a woman and I know who I am, then manipulation is not quite easy to be done to me, or even for me to be doing it. So that was just kind of a tricky question, because, and it's kind of hard for a manipulator to say, oh, I was the one manipulating people, but in all actuality, I was the manipulator. I was the one doing the manipulation.
Okay. That's what's up. So, Wendell, you're going to close us out. I got one last question. We don't have time for it, but the question was, hold on, I'll pull it up real quick. Okay, so the question was, hold on, if you're leaving a manipulative situation and you're ready to go, right, and you know that this person is ultra violent, they've been manipulating, and you're finally coming to the forefront, you're knowing and you're seeing, and you're going through the motions, but you know at some point you're seeing everything that's happening, and so you know that this person is uber violent, they've been violent in the past, they have a history of violence. You know, what is the safest way to leave that situation?
Quietly.
Okay.
Well, we're gonna start with Wendell, and then y'all got two. After Wendell, y'all got 2 minutes to get a crack at it.
Okay, all right. So, regarding manipulation, have I ever been manipulated? Yes. It was. I was in a place where I did not know myself. I was not accepting of myself to the fullest extent. Walking in and embracing my own power and my own voice. Feeling like I had to be something for someone else in order to prove and justify my existence in the relationship. And, you know, that is over and done with, and I'm not going to repeat that ever again. For this new caller and this new question, how do you leave, or what's the safest or the best way to do so? You take inventory of the tethers that bind you to the manipulator and determine for yourself, are these tethers, do they need to be untied, or do they just need to be cut? You know, if we're talking about financial tethers, if you have a shared bank account, then, you know, you might have to open up another bank account and have your money direct deposited there so you can leave that account alone. That's untying a tether. But if it comes to, if there's nothing else that's truly binding you to the person other than the fact that they have a mental hold over you, then that's one that would have to be cut. And you would have to plan your escape, you know, your exit, and then consciously walk in the power that exiting that relationship would afford you. But you can definitely do it, and you have to do it from a place of knowing that exiting this relationship is a form of self-care and self-love, because staying in the relationship is not an expression of you loving yourself. So that's what I would say to that.
Okay. We could take one more. Go ahead. For Danielle, you were going to say something?
No, I'm agreeing with what he said, and I do mean quietly. You have to be tactful when you do that as well, so they don't catch on to it. He's right. I had to do that, get another bank account set up, because my husband had track of everything. And like I said, just quietly do it without them alerting them, and you pretty much know their habits, their attitude, and you pretty much know how to walk around them without upsetting the balance that you have. Even though the relationship is off balance, there's just a way to handle it. And you do that without being sneaky. You got to be sneaky about it, you know. So I agree with everything that you said.
Okay. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's 11:57. I'll start our week. Welcome. Club Bed is calling. And I'd like to thank everybody who sat on the panel this evening for this particular War Council. I know this is early in the month. We're switching things up around. I personally like to thank Angel Kim Mack, Wendell, Danielle, Van Meadows, John Robinson, Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer, Lisa Lips for coming in on the check-in, of course, my best friend Daoud, Tia for coming in, and for all the listeners that were listening and people who participated in it earlier before. We want to thank you for coming out to this edition of 50 Radio Universe Presents War Council. Thank y'all for coming. God bless y'all. Good night.
Thanks.
Good night, y'all.
Thanks.
Good night, y'all.
God bless.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
Peace, family.